Tell him, Roger. And here we are, folks. We're back on the other side of the top of the hour. And, guys, we have a caller. Charles in Florida has a question. Charles, how can we help you, sir?
Yes, hello. The Kruger you mentioned, is it from Newport, Rhode Island, one of the magnates, slave, and the Kruger, it was the opium shipper?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Newport, Rhode Island, right, from that group of Sephardic Jews that were settled there, or old. Supposedly, Newport, Rhode Island was one of the early areas of where masonry was before its official existence in 1717 in Newport, Rhode Island. It's interesting that that they were already in the opium trade. The Roosevelt family, their Delano part, were involved in the 19th century
big time.
opium. Have you ever heard of, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Charles.
Yeah, have you ever heard of Moses Hayes at his, had a Bank of Massachusetts? He moved down to Charleston, South Carolina in 1808. He had to do with bringing Scottish Rite into this country, at least Southern jurisdiction of masonry. And, His bank, the Bank of Massachusetts, through various reincarnations, eventually became the Bank of America, through California, APG&E. But Moses, the Sulzbergers are they own the New York Times or control of it, and are related to Hayes, Moses Hayes. I don't know if you're familiar with him. Hello?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Go ahead, Charles.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what William Cobbett's father said? You know, William Cobbett wrote the Protestant Reformation, is familiar with the Bank of England. His father was a partisan of the American Revolution, and he suddenly decided to move out of the United States, he said. The government of the United States is the most corrupt government on the face of the earth, but originally,
still is.
William Cobbett's father, I don't know if you're familiar with William Cobbett, defended the Catholic Church in the Protestant Reformation, and talks about the Bank of England, the racket, the 1820s, I'm talking about.
Right.
William Cobbett.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. This is Charles, would you agree that this is a part of history that the vast majority of Americans have never heard of?
I would agree with that. My history teacher at the University of Oklahoma in American history was a big debunker he was kind of a revisionist in American history, and he was a member of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, which had very few members at that time. But my mother told me that, when they were just getting started. I don't know if you're familiar with the Sons of SCV.
Yes.
I belong to or did.
Well, I have never opted to join the Sons of Confederate Veterans. I like a lot of the people that I've known in the group, but the point of it is, as I told a group that I addressed in Texarkana, Arkansas, I told the group there that I cannot be a member of the Sons of Confederate Veterans as long as you insist on starting your meeting with pledging allegiance to the flag of the country that raped, murdered, and pillaged my ancestors.
Right. You're correct in saying that. That's true. So very Charles, inconsistent. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Totally inconsistent. But, sir, really appreciate your input. Thank you for calling. We've got some callers stacking up here. Charles, you got any thoughts you want to leave us with? Okay. Charles left. All right. Laura in Michigan, you have questions or comments for us, please? Yes,
yeah,
Laura.
I don't know if this will add to your discussion, but... you know, President Tyler, when he was a boy, he said Thomas Jefferson used to eat at his family's table all
he
the
did.
Time. In fact, he called him Uncle Jefferson. And he said Jefferson always talked about never have a central bank, never have a central bank. And so when Tyler became president after Harrison died after 30 days in office, Tyler was the vice president. So he became president. He vetoed all bills pertaining to a central bank. And it kind of held it off for about 70 years.
Yes, but unfortunately, many members of his cabinet referred to John Tyler as his accidency. And they even challenged him. And Tyler demanded that they all submit their resignations. And Daniel Webster got really upset about that. Are you familiar with that?
Yes. Yes.
All right, Laura. Well, thank
you. Another comment is, when did we stop that law that said no Jews can hold office? I think we go back to that.
Well, it went back to the Constitutional Convention because Article 6, Clause 3 took care of that.
Yeah.
Laura, thank you so much. We've got some callers backing up here. I really appreciate you taking the time to call us, Laura. But let's try to get the other folks and let them get a voice in here. John from Oklahoma, what are your comments, sir?
Yes, sir. The SCV route, I also went. Once you let them understand that you know history, you kind of start moving up the ladder. I guess that's kind of like corporate nowadays. And then you see the dirty underbelly. We kind of have a conundrum. The government nowadays wants the same thing. If you go to Schenectady, New York, my family ran the Underground Railroad. Yet I'm out here in Oklahoma, and we're fighting the bigotry of Native American versus a white man. And so it just never ends.
Well, the government is always going to use anything that it can conjure up to divide the people, because government cannot exist with a united people.
Exactly. So once you start espousing the truth, what can they do? They have to slander, name call. I don't understand why these kids are falling for it again. Whether you scream Nazi or anti-Semitic or evil is evil, doesn't matter what breed or race. Evil is evil. All you do is call out the history facts, and they squeal.
Well, that is true, and most Americans would rather watch football than know the truth about history, I promise you.
The last gentleman that called, I grew up in the same generation he did, University of Oklahoma.
Right.
I was actually a child, so I had free run of OU Library and the History Center. So I got an education that most don't get, because that was pre-Federal Department of Education. When that came in, all that was shut off. I had an entire observatory at my disposal for 10 years. From the time I was 9 till I was 19, the observatory was mine.
Well, lucky man.
Yeah, yes, sir. I was blessed. And what I'm trying to get across to the listeners, there's a truth out there if you'll go look for it. But don't be bigoted on what they tell you. Be bigoted on what your soul tells you. Good
yeah,
is
look
good
at it.
And evil. Evil is evil.
Yeah, look at it as an individual. John, thanks so very much for your contribution here, and call in anytime. You are much welcome and much appreciated. We've
Thank
got
you,
some calls. Thank you, John. And let me move on now. I think I know this guy, Steve in Colorado. Kino, what's going
Thank
on,
you.
Buddy?
Hello, Mike. I have a scenario for you that I think that is being overlooked. I've been giving this a lot of thought. Morris was a crook and a con artist. Now, if I embezzled $17 million in gold and silver, the first thing I would do would be to move it out of the country where nobody could get to it. And he had access to ships. So I was thinking maybe he put that money on ships and moved it somewhere, either the ship sunk, or he moved it somewhere where he couldn't get his hands on it to pay his debts, and that's why he ended up having to borrow money on the land that he had bought.
Interesting scenario. And he definitely had the ships, because one of his ships that he used with the East India Company became actually a U.S. warship, but when it was in the employ of the East India Company, it was known as the Dark Prince.
Because
interesting
yeah,
thought,
if
Steve.
Think of it as, in the eyes of a crook. That's the first thing I would do is move the money to where it couldn't be confiscated.
Ah, that's an interesting observation. Steve, you were you're kind of the head guy on that phone call on Friday nights. Give me your thoughts on how the people have received what we've been able to present to them over the past 2 weeks.
They want you back.
Oh, well,
I couldn't make it any plainer than that.
Well, thank you, buddy. I certainly enjoyed it, and I intended last night to be about an hour or so conversation. 2 hours and a half later, I was still babbling on, so I appreciate that. And Steve, thank you, buddy. God bless you, and we're going to try to move on now to see if we can get in another caller here with Dave from Nevada. Dave, how you doing, my friend? Are you there, Dave?
Yeah, I'm here now. Okay.
Okay.
I just heard the beat just right now. I think what you guys were talking about, how you guys were kind of alluding to how people have never heard of these things before, or they don't talk about them, is because people don't study French history. And I do. And so I understand why people don't understand this. Because they are big fans of the Constitution, number one, and they think that individual liberty is the highest good, but I don't personally believe that. And I'll give you an example. The reason why we have abortion in this country is because of the notion of individual liberty. It comes from the Constitution, the philosophy. And I'll even hear a constitutionalist on RBN say, well, unfortunately, it's a constitutional right for a woman to murder their own child, because that's what abortion is. It's murder.
Oh,
so
genocide. Infanticide.
Yeah, genocide. Yeah, it's genocide. And you'll hear people who are staunch constitutionalists to the point they will say, well, unfortunately, I'm a constitutionalist, and you have to give people their right to do what they want with their body. That comes from individual liberty, the idea, the notion. Okay. And so, but back to what you guys were saying, another individual that no one ever talks about, and he's considered one of the most important if not the most important figure in Western civilization, is Napoleon Bonaparte. No one talks about Napoleon, ever. And he's the father of Western republics. And not only that, if you study the background of Napoleon Bonaparte, he was very friendly with the Jews. Friendly with the Jews. And no one talks about these people because they don't study French history, which is probably one of the most important periods of history in history. By the way, the person who founded the FBI, before it was called the FBI, I forgot what it was called, was a descendant of Bonaparte, Joseph Bonaparte, and he invented the idea of fingerprinting, which is he invented the idea of the fingerprint, which is a total violation of privacy.
But when they when that idea first came about, it wasn't called fingerprints, it was called finger marks.
Yeah. Whatever you want to call them, but you get the idea. I mean, the whole thing was just—it's been set up from the beginning, and the French Revolution was basically the French people like Bonaparte, French Freemasons against the monarchy, the Catholic monarchy. Because if you notice, the flag changed from the fleur-de-lis, which is the French monarchy symbol. It went from that to red, white, and blue, which are Masonic colors. And so what was going on with all these, I believe all the revolutions were communist, including the Constitutional Revolution. I believe that is also communist. Because communism comes from Freemasonry. And so this is why we have In all these Western countries, we have red, white, and blue. Fraternity, equality, and liberty. These are Masonic terms. But it's hard for people to understand because they worship the flag and they worship individual liberty. And so they'll say things like, I don't care what people do in their bedroom. Well, sodomy was illegal in the United States for over 100 years. And no one was complaining about the government being in their bedroom for decades. So why was it all of a sudden made legal?
Well, anything that would make divisive, anything that would divide the people, because for the government to survive, the people must be divided. And they must be divided either politically or on whatever means possible. But, Dave, if you don't mind, let me let my other three friends here, D.W., Cal, or Scorpio, chime in at this point and see what they have to say about these thoughts.
Well, if I might, David makes some brilliant points here. I'm really appreciative of the line of reasoning and your... the path you're taking here on this, the French Revolution is an inspired revolution, not by Frenchmen. It's by English intelligence, British intelligence. Lord Shelburne is William Pitt. He's the primary instigator from behind the scenes to leveraging France's debt. That was created and instigating over a period of several years the intrigues and infamies that would bring it all to a head. This was not an organic evolution of a revolution of French people. It was a color revolution. And I hear music.
Too much crap, drive the world insane. Everybody singing the jailhouse blues. Don't believe a word.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote with Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
In history, was there ever a group that could match Lynyrd Skynyrd? God, may you take care of your boys. They're all home now, the entire band. I hope you're enjoying the concert with the Confederate battle flag. Well, DW, you were making some comments to Dave from Nevada there. Would you like to continue, please?
Well, I think there's obviously more I could say about that, but I'd like to get Dave's response if he remembers where we're at.
Dave, you still with us?
Not much. I don't go that far. I understand the English connection. I think they were kind of the spearhead in Europe, like throughout the centuries. They were basically the elites. They're gathering up all their elite families, all of Europe, and just basically taking over. And then they basically, the Rothschilds were the financial backing behind that. And people need to realize the Rothschilds financed the American Revolution.
There was no central bank.
Yeah, and the Civil War.
All
you have to do is ask yourself, where did they get the money from? You start a civil war in the United States if there is no central bank. It had to come from Europe.
Right? Absolutely, and it's called, are you familiar, Dave, are you familiar with the Hazard Circular?
No, I'm not.
Well, the Hazard Circular is critical to understanding because Lincoln initially, in 1862, when he saw the war was going to last much longer than he had anticipated, he realized he needed money. So he and his Secretary of the Treasury, Salmon P. Chase, went to the international bankers and asked for a loan. And the international bankers said, yeah, fine, we'll give you all the money you want at 30 to 40% interest. Well, Lincoln said, I can't do that. So he contacted one of his friends in Texas, and one of his old friends in Texas said, hey, I believe his name was Stockdale. He said, hey, just issue your own damn money. You don't need the banks. So he issued the greenback. And then that really upset the European banking cartel, and they came up with the Hazard Circular, and they were able to send enough money to Salmon P. Chase, who was the Secretary of Treasury, to buy enough members of Congress to come out with the Currency Acts of 1862 and 1863. So the banks were quite active during that time frame.
Yeah. They just have their fingerprints all over it. But what I find interesting is I believe that the current English monarchy is still the same monarchy, just as powerful, but they have more of a hidden hand than they did in the past. And I believe, if I'm not correct, I think they're the only actual active monarchy in Europe, and the other monarchies are simply ceremonial monarchs. They don't really exist in a political realm such as the English monarch, which is why we're always obsessed with watching their weddings and this and that.
Right.
They're brainwashing us.
Well stated, Dave. And, I really appreciate your contribution, buddy. Come back anytime. I've got another caller. I need to get to him.
Okay.
But I appreciate it, Dave. Thank you, sir. And very, very cogent comments. Thank you. You're very knowledgeable. Now let's shift to my old buddy Rex in Florida. Rex, what do you got to say today, buddy?
I just wanted to add a few facts or evidence to the discussion concerning Robert Morris and signer of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Articles of Confederation, financed the American Revolution, the founder of the first commercial bank in the United States, along with James Greenleaf, consulate for the United States at Amsterdam, along with John Nicholson, Comptroller General of Pennsylvania, formed the North American Land Company and held over 6 million acres of land, 2 million of it in Georgia, over 2 million of those acres in Georgia.
Right.
And where did they get that money?
Well, I think we know that, but that is an excellent point, Rex, and I really appreciate that. Let me check and see if my old buddies Cal or Scorpio have some comments on that at this point. Gentlemen?
Well, the pattern I'm seeing repeat here, Mike, is you've got agents of the banking cartel, the banking monopolies that somehow hit the scene very well funded with a covert agenda, and they insert themselves through connections into the right places to accomplish their goals. And that's the pattern I'm seeing repeat over and over all the way to present day, Mike.
Oh, very, very cogent response. Cal, yours?
I agree with Scorpio there. What I'm seeing is the central banks have governments put in place to launder their money out to the people of the world these days. It's not just a U.S. thing anymore. It's the whole world.
Well, here we come with that wonderful group from Canton, North Carolina, Haywood County, the good old Balsam Range. What a wonderful bluegrass group.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It used to be Andy and Barney Fife. Now a tired Stern and a brothel life. Too much crap drive the world insane. Everybody singing the jailhouse blues. Don't believe a word of the evening news. Truth stood for years down the drain.
Oh, thank you, Merle. Nobody quite does it like the Hag, and certainly appreciate that. And before we move along, and in my old age here, I forget to do it, let me bring up 2 points, and that is 2 weeks from today in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. We will be there with the Dixie Republic. And, folks, I got to tell you, if you have never been to this event, you're missing a really wonderful experience. If there's any way possible that you can be there, please do so. Because I tell you what, you're not going to get this anywhere else. And these folks are fine sponsors at RBN. Paul and Dr. Auchi, his beautiful wife, that is, she's a trip. They're all just wonderful people. And as their ad here on RBN says, come and visit the friends you haven't met yet. Because if you get the opportunity to come on April the 1st, you will find what a wonderful group of people these folks really are. And second, I want to give a shout out to my friends up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, who have a newspaper called The People's Pen. These folks are doing everything they possibly can to get the truth out to the people in their area. And you can go to their website, thepeoplespen.com, and check on, you can read their newspapers, no charge. But if there's any way impossible that you can help them, please do so. And now let's get back to where we were, and let me bring in my old buddies, Scorpio and Cal first. Do you gentlemen have any comments on where we are or where we what we have covered so far?
Cal, why don't you take it first?
Mute button,
looking
Cal.
For the mute button.
There
I'm
you
looking
go.
For that mute button. There it is. Oh, I really don't have a comment. I'm just enjoying the conversation. I love how these conversations when the four of us get together evolve. And I learn something new from every one of them and from the callers who have called in. I truly enjoy it and appreciate it.
Oh, well, buddy, we appreciate you.
There's just so much information out there. One person cannot learn it all, even though Mike's learned the lion's share and has probably forgotten more than I will ever learn.
Well, there is this thing called old age, but I'm trying my best to beat that monster. But Scorpio, your thoughts, my friend?
Well, you know, the central theme here is central banks and the power that they exert covertly and creating cutout characters that arrive on the scene very well funded with mysterious money that very difficult to figure out where it came from, you know. And then these people end up having tremendous impacts upon world history. We also touched upon the idea of Alexander Hamilton, you know, being a bastard and his true lineage. And I think that actually is another game that's played more often than we think. People that hit the scene with secret lineage that they don't want the public to actually know. Because once you start to realize how small the family is, let's say, at the top, then it becomes very evident as to, you know, who's running the show and how the game is really being played versus the sort of fairy tale vision or view of world history and the way the world actually operates.
Oh, well stated, Dave. DW, you have any thoughts here before we move on?
Oh, I just appreciate the callers and everybody else here. I guess really, you know, just to do a general overview is that the reason we do these, have these conversations on an ongoing basis is, and for the people that listen, is it's a primer for pattern recognition. You learn to recognize the patterns of the past and then actually use the source documents at different stages along the history timeline to see how those patterns apply. And with these kind of conversations and this group of people, that's possible because they're extremely well read and they think objectively. I don't even say it critically. They're very objective. I feel in the conclusions that people that they've reached. And as I like to say, the reason we study history through a microscopic glass is that we can turn it around and use it as a telescope so we can predict what they're going to do. And this is why they don't want you to listen to Mike Gatti and use your own creative mind to reach some of your own conclusions. So,
well,
we
had
any callers?
All three of you, here was the thing I kind of wanted to run by you, was I tell you what, the more and more callers we get here at RBN, the more and more impressed I become with their level of knowledge. So there are people out there who have this thing figured out, and just hopefully we can be a contributor to that. And I just really appreciate the callers, and I very much appreciate RBN that provides this portal to truth. And that, I think, is critical because it is so hard to find in other instances. But I don't see that we have any other callers. I don't know. Rex, are you still with us? Well, I guess not. So we kind of lost our last caller there, guys. But Cal, would you kind of give a synopsis of what you think we've covered today?
Well, we went from the Glorious Revolution, where the Papist King was overthrown by the Protestants. The Protestant Queen establishes charters of the Bank of England with William Paterson. Prior to this, in 1600, you already had the creation of the British East India Company. So you have all these power structures, and they seem to be vying with each other over who's going to be power over who. You know, the monarchy, are they going to control the banks and the British East India Company? Is the British East India Company going to control the banks and the crown? And I think when it comes down to it, it ended up being the banks, the banksters, because money controls everything. They ended up being the supreme power brokers. And governments, like I say, and governments and now corporations are just entities to, one, shield them from the knowledge of the public, and two, to carry on their devious mechanisms and machinations that they have in store for everybody.
Well, Cal, very well said. Very well said. Here's a point I would like to ask all three of you gentlemen. Could you offer any positive evidence that today that the Federal Reserve does not completely and totally control the government in the United States?
No, I couldn't offer any evidence to that. That they don't,
and
I can offer a lot of evidence that they do.
Yes, and the Federal Reserve is a foreign corporation, right?
Absolutely,
it's not even a part of this government. The Federal Reserve is no more federal than is the Federal Express. Well, guys, look, we've got Sherry from Kansas who would like to jump in here, and Sherry, welcome to the program. How are you today?
Yes, Mike. This is, your shows are great. I just love them. And I don't have anything to add except that a subtitle to the name of your show should be Corruption Has Always Governed America. And I can't take credit for it. Someone called into Darren Weeks' show, and his show is Govern America, and said that it should be Corruption Governs America, and you could, you know, give yours a subtitle, I thought.
Well, I think it always has, Sherry. Thank you for that offering, but I think it always has, and here is something I said many years ago, and I had a lot of objections from people who I thought were friends, when I said it doesn't make any difference what form of government you create, the rich, wealthy will always control it. You can call it a democracy, you can call it a republic, you can call it whatever you want to. Regardless, if you have a government, the money will control it eventually.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, I'll let you all get on.
Well, Sherry, thank you. Thank you for taking your time to talk with us today, lady.
All right. Bye.
Well,
bye-bye.
Thanks, Sherry. Mike, on the point that you were making and you and Sherry were making, I don't get many opportunities to do this, but I'd like to quote Mao Zedong. And as the great work was being performed over there in the Cultural Revolution, he was queried about, well, this is going to introduce capitalist principles into this communist state. You know, how dare you? And Mao Zedong's response was, look, I don't care if it's a black cat or a white cat, as long as it catches mice.
Great analogy. Great analogy. Well, Dave, Scorpio, tell us what's new, buddy.
Well, I just want to add that is a great analogy. It's a excellent summation of human nature, and that's exactly what the banking central banks rely upon to do what they do. So that's excellent. Just trying to make it through this crazy clown world we're in. Mike, I'm really hoping to get out there and meet you guys for the event on April 1st. If I'm not able to, though, I'm going to be out there shortly thereafter. So I'm looking forward to seeing you guys both very soon.
Well, let's put it very succinctly, Dave. If you don't show up on April the 1st, we're probably going to shoot you.
Okay. I'll wear my body armor then when I come
okay.
down.
All right. Well, I just wanted to be as graphic as possible and to be to the point. We need you there, buddy. You need to be there too. It's a reciprocating situation. And we've got old Kino in Colorado. He done called back again. Steve, what you got on your mind, buddy?
I studied the Medici family in Florence in the 1400s. And if you want to know what the bankers are doing today, study the Medici family. They even controlled the Pope.
Money controls everybody.
Well, yeah, but these are the people that the Rothschilds emulated.
Yes. Very much so, and that's, I brought it up last night in our conversation, how many people have never heard of Solomon James Rothschild? And Solomon James Rothschild came to America pre-Civil War to lay out the battle plan for his father, Armshed de Rothschild, back in France.
Well, the Medici family would, because back then, Italy was all city-states, and they were always warring amongst each other. Right. And the Medici family made all their money because they were financing both sides.
Oh, yes, they always do.
Steve, I have to say something to Steve here. The period between King George the First and I think it was around 15 to 20, to King George the Third, this group of people, the King Georges, this family line, they referred to themselves. They referred to themselves, not others calling them this. They said of themselves, they are the Venetians. Yeah. They were the Venetians.
Yeah,
and they were proud of it.
Yeah, because everybody was intermarried back then. That's
still
how they gained.
Hey, Steve. Steve.
Yes.
Are you aware of a gentleman born way back in 1437 named Isaac of Bravenal?
The name rings a bell, but I'm not sure why.
Well, he was born in Portugal. He ended up being chief financier or the in charge of the money for the court of Ferdinand and Isabel in Spain on the Iberian Peninsula. He was booted out of Spain during the Reconquista. This is after he funded removing the Moors from Spain. He paid for it. He funded it. And then he ends up getting kicked out. He ended up in Venice. He is the one who started all of this back in Venice.
Well, and that was Christopher Columbus was Italian.
Yeah.
Mm. Yep. So I'm pretty sure that somehow the Medici family had something to do with that.
Well, the one thing we know for sure. the one thing we know for sure, Steve, is you are obviously a masochist because you called in twice.
Well, I resemble that remark.
Okay, buddy. Well, we're kind of running down on time here. We got another caller from Iowa. Let's jump over. Steve, we love you, brother. You take care of yourself and take care of my fellow Archuleta County folks over there, will you please? And now let's jump to Fred in Iowa. Fred, how's it going?
Well, I got quite upset there, but Steve, I guess his last name is Keno, and bless his heart for calling in a second time. He is absolutely correct. The Medici family of Florence, Italy, started the first central bank.
And, yes.
And Evelyn de Rothschild admits and says that we are the bank of the Vatican. The Vatican controls the banking. And out of the Medici family were three popes. Up until people can understand Revelation chapter 13 and Daniel chapter 7, they cannot understand who the first beast of Revelation is, who the second beast of Revelation, who gives his power unto the first beast and makes an image of him, and the false prophet. And I can name all three. Do you want to hear them?
Yeah, go ahead.
The first beast of Revelation is the Roman Papacy Vatican. The second beast of Revelation, which gives its power unto the first beast and makes an image to him, is the United States of America. The false prophet is the apostate Protestant religion. I am a Protestant. I keep the Sabbath, and I will die. I don't want to take life, but I will keep the Sabbath beyond my death. And until people understand the first beast, the second beast, and the apostate Protestant religion that are not keeping the Sabbath, they'll never understand. Steve, keep calling in. Bye, and thank you.
Well, thank you, Fred.
Thank you,
really
Fred.
Appreciate it, buddy. And thanks for your contribution. And now we have Francis in North Carolina, and the good old folks from North Kakalaki, my home
boy.
State. Come on, Francis, talk to us.
Hey,
talk
fellas.
To us. How you doing,
hey,
lady?
Fellas. I'm here. One, it was great to hear from Fred in Iowa. I miss that dude. And secondly, as far as how the so-called power elite are functioning in the various families and so forth and where they end up at or come from or whatever, I've come to realize one simple truth. They're playing the whole world as though it's one huge chessboard, which is an ironic thing, but when you stop to think about it, they're having fun between each other, playing this country against this country, this ethnicity against this ethnicity, like a chessboard. And I'm wondering when the people are going to stop putting up with that garbage and actually fight back for a change. And with that,
Well, Francis, they're not going to stop as long as they can be entertained. As long as there's television.
Sure.
As long as there's football, as long as there's baseball, as long as there's cars going real fast in a circle, you're not going to wake up a majority of the American public. They enjoy being entertained
well,
too
Mike,
much.
Well, that's a good point, too.
Mike, let me let me share with Francis something here.
Please.
In 1824, H.G. Wells writes his own biography. It's called Experiment Biography. In there, he states in the 20s that he predicts what they're going to do, how the transition will occur, and it was very important to him that the policies used in the transition would not be so severe as to be unendurable. As long as it's not made, as long as they can throttle this to give people options along the way, they will never wake up.
Wow.
And that's why they need your data. That's why they monitor you. That's why they have to have your smartphone information so they can manage and control the throttle, otherwise the government. And I just want to say also and close my final statement is that if you're looking for good guys and bad guys, you've bought into the game. These are not, you're not going to find good guys and bad guys. What you're looking at is you're being asked to take sides on competitors,
Bingo.
Not good guys and bad
Bingo.
Guys. So.
Absolutely. Francis, may I be so bold as to ask you what part of North Kakalaki you're from?
Do you know where I-95 is?
I'm sorry, say again?
Do you know where I-95 is?
Oh, yes.
Well, we're about a half hour away from I-95. We're out in the country.
Okay. Well,
if you've ever heard of a town called Rocky Mount, we're about a half hour from there.
Oh, yeah. I'm very familiar with North Kakalaki, that being my home state. The one thing I always said, I was very prejudicial. I always felt that those redneck hillbillies from the Appalachians were the real spirit of North Kakalaki.
I would have to agree. I mean, for folks to survive in the mountains, which are a lot more rustic, I mean, I'd take it off to them because there's much wisdom to be learned from most everybody, for that matter, regardless of where they live, to be honest. But, yeah, I have to applaud them. And with that, I'll have lime, coconut, and pineapple, my Corona, and the variants. Y'all have a fun weekend.
Hey, thanks, Francis. And, hey, let me take the opportunity here to thank my good friends, DW, Cal, and Scorpio. Scorpio,
oh,
you want to kind of close us out here, buddy?
Well, sure. I appreciate you having me on, and I'd like to investigate further the idea that the Vatican runs the banks. I don't think that holds up from the research I've seen. But great show, very interesting topics, and I appreciate you having me on.
All right, buddy. Hey, Cal, your thoughts?
Looking for mute button. No, thanks. Thanks very much for having me on. It's always a pleasure to be on here. And yeah, I agree with Scorpio. I think the banks are controlling the Vatican. I mean, the Vatican at one point was the power structure, especially for the Western civilized world. But that baton has been passed on.
All right, guys. Jack. Here's our music, DW. Buddy, I love you. Love you guys. Thanks so much for taking of your time. Listeners, thank you for taking of your time. And folks, let's support RBN in any way that we possibly can. And also, don't forget to support Dixie Republic.
South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.